And when you've marked that, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. Mark, chapter 12. And in this chapter, Jesus is having a discussion, actually a debate, with several groups throughout this chapter. First, he has a debate with the Pharisees and the Herodians over whether or not they ought to pay taxes. The Pharisees didn't want to give money to Rome. So Jesus deals with them about paying taxes. Then another group approaches, who are the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees, like the Pharisees, were religious, but the Sadducees were much more political than religious. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. So they came to Jesus, just as the Pharisees and Herodians did, not to seek information, but to try to trap our Lord in his words. So the Sadducees come to him and they give him this long hypothetical about what's going to happen in the resurrection. So after these debates are going on, in Mark chapter 12, we are then told that there was an expert in the law, that there was a scribe who had been standing there that whole time listening to Jesus deal with these different groups. And this scribe was so impressed with how Jesus answered them that this scribe now had a question for Jesus himself. Now, he, unlike the other groups, weren't trying to trap Jesus, but he was seeking wisdom and understanding from Jesus. So look with me, Mark chapter 12, and beginning with verse number 28. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he, Jesus, answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Verse 32. And the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all of your heart and all of your understanding and all of your strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now, verse 34. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, Jesus said to the scribe, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Understand this morning that all accountable people fall into one of three groups. All accountable people. Number one, there is the group that are in the kingdom of God. John, the Revelator, writing to those persecuted Christians at the end of the first century, John told them in Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 9, John said that "I am your companion in the kingdom." So there are those who are in the kingdom. The second group are those who are far away from the kingdom. These are people who want nothing to do with God. They are without God, they are without hope, they are without salvation, and they don't want to have anything to do with God. They are far away from the kingdom of God. But the third group, Jesus puts this scribe in. The third group are those who are not far from the kingdom of God. Jesus, having heard him, listening to him, and conversing with him, concluded, you are not far from the kingdom of God. This morning, the lesson is going to center around the kingdom of God. And the lesson is going to unfold in this manner. This morning, I'm going to ask and I'm going to answer four questions about the kingdom. A lot of information. Stay with me. Work with me through this. Four questions and answers about the kingdom of God. Question number one is this, and it has to be the first question. What is the kingdom of God? What is it? Let me tell you this morning that there are four phrases. And that every one of these phrases or every one of these four terms all mean the same thing. Those four teams are those who are in Christ, those who are in the body, those who are in the church, and those who are in the kingdom. Here are four terms. All four of these terms are having reference to the same group of people in exactly the same situation. In Christ, in the body, in the church, and in the kingdom mean the same thing. Now, I have said that three times. Now, let's go to the Bible and let's show you that from the scriptures. First of all, to be in Christ is to be in the body. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, Paul says, for as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That verse, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, tells us how we get into Christ. We are baptized into Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Paul said, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Do you see it? Baptism puts me into Christ, Galatians 3:27, and baptism puts me into the body, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. So what does that mean? That means that to be in Christ is to be in the body. The same act places you into both of them. Let's take another step. To be in the body is to be in the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. The Bible says that God has placed all things under his, that is Jesus. God has placed all things under the feet of Jesus and has given him to be the head of the church, which is his body. So to be in the body is to be in the church, because Paul said the church is the body of Christ. You still with me? Stay. Now, to be in the church is to be in the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is with his disciples. They're standing on the coast of Caesarea Philippi. Jesus says to them in verse 18 of Matthew 16, Jesus said that upon this rock — the rock is the confession that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God — that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In the very next verse, verse 19, Jesus says to them, now I will give to you the keys of the kingdom. In verse 18, he refers to it as the church. In verse 19, he refers to the same thing as being the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, Jesus uses the word church and Jesus uses the word kingdom interchangeably to be the same place and to be the same thing. Now, what have we learned? We have learned that to be in Christ is to be in the body. We have learned that to be in the body is to be in the church. We have learned that to be in the church is to be in the kingdom. So when Jesus spoke to the scribe in Mark chapter 12, and when Jesus said to him in verse 34, you are not far from the kingdom of God, what Jesus said to him is, you are not far from being in Christ. You are not far from being in the body. You are not far from being in the church. You are not far from being in the kingdom, because all four of them are the same. All four of them are the same. You say, is it that way because you said so? Absolutely not. It's that way because God said so. So what is the kingdom? What is it? It's to be in Christ. It's to be in the body. It's to be in the church. It's to be in the kingdom. Okay? Question number two. Let's ask this. What are the blessings that are in the kingdom? Now listen to me. This question right here, this is real important. You know why? Because this question right here, depending on what the answer to that question is, will let me know if I even want to consider to be in the kingdom. Does that make sense? What are the blessings? Well, listen, let me figure out what the blessings are, and then when I figure that out, then I can say, well, okay, it's worth being in the kingdom, or it's not worth being in the kingdom. So what are the blessings? Now, everybody, leave Mark chapter 12 and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Are you there? All right, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Now, right here it is. Every spiritual blessing is in Christ. Well, what does that mean to be in Christ? To be in Christ is to also be in the body. And it also is to be in the church. And it's also to be in the kingdom, because they're all the same. Now, what are some of these spiritual blessings? Number one is salvation. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul said, I have endured all things for the elect's sake, that I may be a part of the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. So salvation is the blessing. Well, is there other blessings? There is other blessings. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, and in verse 14, Paul says that God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14 says, in whom, that is Christ, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. So, the spiritual blessings in Christ, in the kingdom, are salvation and redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Well, are there more spiritual blessings? You know there are. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 1, Paul says there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Those who are in Christ will not come under the condemnation of God. Well, are there more? You know, there are. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. John says that God has given us eternal life. Listen to it. And that eternal life is in Christ. So what does this mean? Look at these blessings. Look at these blessings. These are the blessings that are those for those who are in Christ. These are the blessings that are for those who are in the body. These are the blessings for those who are in the church. These are the blessings for those who are in the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't know what you're going to do with any of this, but I'm going to tell you something. I want those blessings. I want those blessings. Old Fox is going to miss out on a whole lot of stuff, but old Fox, I don't want to miss out on this. Now listen to me. But if you are going to receive those blessings, if I'm going to receive those blessings, then bless God, we've got to get where those blessings are. If you're not where they're at, you ain't going to get them. I'm not teaching English. Bless God, I'm preaching a sermon. Did you hear what I said? How am I going to get something if I'm not where that something is? If I want these, then I got to be in Christ. I got to be in the body. I got to be in the church. I got to be in the kingdom. Because that's where they're at. Well, what is the kingdom? Well, I know what it is. The kingdom is made up for those who are in Christ, who are in his body, who are in the church, and who are in the kingdom. It's the same group. It's the same place. So I know what the kingdom is. Well, what are the blessings that are in the kingdom? Well, some of them are salvation, redemption, forgiveness, no condemnation from God and eternal life. So listen, that's what I want. Listen, if that's what I want, I got to get where they're at. Question number three. And this is the next natural question about the kingdom. How does one get into the kingdom of God? If I want the blessings from a minute ago, I got to get where they're at. They're in the kingdom. All right, how do I get in the kingdom where the blessings are? Now, work with me. If you don't work with me, this sermon ain't never going to end. All right, work with me. Oh, everybody, oh, we're with you now. Okay. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. In John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, there is a very religious man named Nicodemus who comes to Jesus. And in verse 2, this very religious man, a Pharisee, who was a ruler among the Jews, in verse 2, he comes to Jesus, and Nicodemus looks Jesus right in the teeth, and he says, listen, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, because nobody could perform these miracles you perform unless God was with him. Look what Jesus says to him in verse 3, John 3, 3. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How does one get in the kingdom? The only way to get in the kingdom, according to John 3, 3, is that you have to get in the kingdom by birth. You are born into the kingdom. So watch how Nicodemus replies. Nicodemus is confused. Look at verse 4. Nicodemus said to Jesus, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 4 is a classic case of misunderstanding. Jesus has just told him, if you want to get in the kingdom, then you have to be born again. Nicodemus misunderstands that. He says, I'm an old man. How is it possible for me to go back into my mother's womb? So in verse 5, Jesus clarifies what kind of birth he's talking about. Verse 5, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say unto you, that unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So the way you enter the kingdom is through birth, but not, brethren, through physical birth, but through a spiritual birth. And Jesus says in verse 5, the only way to get in the kingdom is through that birth. And in verse 5, Jesus says there are two elements in this spiritual birth. Two. Jesus says that there is spirit. Now, look at me, and we're going to go really slow. The word spirit in verse 5 is having reference to the Holy Spirit. Well, how is the Holy Spirit involved in this spiritual birth? That's a good question. You guys are pretty smart. the seed of the kingdom of God. The seed of the kingdom is the word of God. When Jesus was explaining the parable of the sower in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 8 and in verse 11, Jesus said, the seed is the word of God. So the seed or the word of God came to us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that mean? That means that it was the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, who carried those men, who moved those men, who helped those men to write down exactly the words that God wanted in the Bible. You understand? This is the seed, the word. This seed, this word, has come to us through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. We have not been born of corruptible seed, but we have been born of incorruptible seed, the living and abiding Word of God. So the scripture comes to us through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and when the seed or when the word is preached to us, it is then planted in our hearts. Don't leave me. Do you understand what I'm saying? The seed is the word. It came to us through the Spirit of God. When this is preached, this seed is planted in our hearts. You can't have a birth without a seed. If you don't know that, you need to stay away from people for a while. You can't have birth without a seed. So the first element of this birth, the first element is the Spirit through which the Word of God came to us, is preached to us, and that seed is buried in me. The second element of this new birth is water. This water is baptism. People want to argue, well, you don't know that. Listen, what other water is there? What other water is there? It's baptism. You say, listen, how do you know that? Here's how I know that. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, in Matthew's account, in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. Those disciples are later going to be called Christians, Acts 11, 26. Go and make disciples of all nations. Well, how do you make somebody a disciple? Jesus says teaching them and then baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teach them to observe what I have commanded. In Mark's account of the Great Commission, in Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, what is the response of those who hear the gospel and believe it? Verse 16 of Mark chapter 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be condemned. Now, watch this carefully. What is accomplished when one is baptized? When someone is baptized, they are now in Christ, Galatians 3:27. When one is baptized, they are now in the body, 1 Corinthians 12:13. When one is baptized, they are now in the church. In Acts chapter 2, the 3,000 that were baptized on the day of Pentecost, verse 47 says that God took them and that God, the Lord himself, added them to the church. What is accomplished when one is baptized? They are then placed into the kingdom of God because they have obeyed the new birth. Hello? Well, let me ask you something else then. What if somebody is not baptized? Then they are not in Christ. They are not in the body. They are not in the church. And they are not in the kingdom. What is the kingdom? I know what the kingdom is. I know what it is. Well, what are the blessings in the kingdom? Because that's going to tell me if I want to go after it. Boy, do I want to go after those. Well, how does one get in the kingdom? You get in the kingdom through birth, not a physical birth, but a spiritual birth, water and spirit. Question number four. Think about this. Who is it that is not far from the kingdom of God? Jesus told that scribe, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Now listen carefully. If a person is not far from the kingdom of God, then that means they are near the kingdom of God. That makes sense? If you're not far from the kingdom of God, then you are near the kingdom of God. But who is that? Who does that represent? That represents the people in the world who are honest. They are sincere, they are good people, and they are seeking to know the truth. One such man we read about in Acts chapter 10. Of all things, he is a Gentile, and he is a centurion in the Roman army, and his name is Cornelius. And in Acts 10 and in verse 2, here's what we are told about Cornelius. We are told that he is devoted to God. We are told that he reverences and that he respects God. We are told that he prays continuously. And we are told that he gives generously to the poor. Now, that's quite a fella, isn't it? But to this man who was devoted to God, this man who reverenced God, this man who was constantly praying, this man who was generous, this man, Cornelius, still had to hear the gospel. And this man in verse 48 of Acts 10, this man, this good, honest man, was commanded to be baptized. Now, let me ask you this. Let's say that I am near the kingdom of God. Let's say that I am not far from the kingdom of God. And I die. What does that mean? That means I'm out of Christ. That means I'm out of the body. That means I'm out of the church. That means I'm out of the kingdom. The tragedy of being near the kingdom is you're not in the kingdom. And they're so near, but they're lost. They're so close, but they're lost. It was a great ship. It had touched many of the main ports around the world. And now it was headed home. Home for the ship was Liverpool, England. And when it got just a few miles from Liverpool, the ship went down and everybody on it was lost. Officials went to the home of the captain of that ship, and his wife was up cooking breakfast because she knew her husband was due back to port that morning, and so she was fixing his favorite breakfast. And they stood in the doorway and told her, between Queensport and Liverpool, your husband's ship went down and there are no survivors. The two men who went said that the wife dropped to her knees and that she began to cry, so near home and lost. So near home and lost. It had been around the world and now it was home. It was right there. It was so near home, but lost. Here's what I wonder about a lot. A lot. I wonder about people and how many people that I have preached to through all of these decades that were so near home, but died lost. And that causes me to wonder this. How many in this assembly? How many of you are so near home, but you're lost? The tragedy, are you listening? The tragedy of almost being saved is that you are totally lost. Do what you need to do. Do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.